It's time to free your mind. Just free your mind with the Conscious Leadership School. Hi, welcome to another Conscious Conversation with myself, Chantal Burns, founder of the CLS, and Cheryl Bond, fellow faculty. This is part one of a new podcast that we've named Why COVID-19 Cannot Make You Anxious. At the point of recording this, we're 2 weeks into a lockdown due to this global health pandemic. In this conversation, we're exploring the relationship between our own mental health and what we might describe as extreme circumstances. My hope is that this series of recordings will be helpful to anyone who's suffering from anxiety or similar, and also for those who want to support others during this time. We hope you find it helpful.
I think we should talk a bit about the misunderstanding about where stress and anxiety really come from.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like. I mean, obviously you're in the US and I'm here in the UK, and we're already hearing a lot about how this time through this pandemic, this health pandemic with COVID-19 is going to create and is creating a lot of mental health issues, and that we need to be able to respond to that, you know, to be able to help ourselves, obviously, and help others. One of the things I'm noticing is that there are a lot of different people popping up generally on Instagram and Facebook and other platforms offering people ways to manage their stress and anxiety through this health pandemic. And it's all very well-meaning and some of it's helpful, you know, teaching people how to use their breath effectively to calm their nerves. But for me, that's missing something that's really, really important, which is it the virus? Is it COVID-19 that's responsible for our feelings of anxiety? I mean, if our heart rate's increasing, is it because of the virus? I mean, if someone's sick, then maybe absolutely. If they're physically got the virus, that might create some physical symptoms. But I'm talking about those of us that aren't necessarily, you know, physically ill. We're just trying to go about our lives and we've got a lot going on. Maybe we're working from home now, which we've maybe not done before. Maybe we're at home with kids and there's not as much space as we had before when we were going into our place of work. So of course, circumstances are very different for a lot of people now. So it can really seem like there are lots of reasons to be feeling stressed out or feeling anxious or fearful.
I also think that when people are faced with such uncertainty and, you know, they're kind of clinging to the experts' every word to figure out what they should be doing and what they should be feeling, I think that it's even easier for people to get taken in by, you know, the talking head on the news that's telling them a very gloom and doom forecast, and then giving them some tips and techniques for, you know, how to deal with the stress and anxiety that they actually just stirred up by the by all of the gloom and doom that they talked about. It's a really good time for people to step back and take a look at the fact that nothing in our circumstances can make us feel, anything can make us feel good or bad.
For some people listening to this, I can imagine that's going to seem like quite a shocking statement to some. Well, come on, hang on a minute, Cheryl. You know, people are losing their jobs, you know, their livelihoods potentially, you know, people's businesses are shutting down right now. There are a lot of quite extreme circumstances in people's lives. You know, how can you possibly say that none of these things can contribute to a person's feelings of stress or anxiety?
Well, they certainly can, but it's based on how we're thinking about them at the moment. Just myself, you know, I have realized over the past few years that I'm a bit of a control freak. And what I noticed last week, the first week that we were really in lockdown, I was very angry, very, very angry. Like I wanted to punch the wall. And I'm just by myself with my two dogs. So there isn't even anyone to argue with. So I realized, you know, towards the end of the week that I had a realization, as we often do. And it just dawned on me, it's a fact that I can't go to the supermarket when I want to go to the supermarket. It's a fact that when I did go to the supermarket yesterday, they were, you know, making people wait in line and only letting so many people into the store. And I got really infuriated by that. And in that moment, it looked like it was because of that circumstance. But when I settled down a little bit, I had that realization that, look, you can think about all the things that you can't control, or you can reset for a minute and think about, well, what are some possibilities of what I can control and what I can do? And that helped me when I thought that. Now, I still get frustrated and I still get angry, but I'm not stuck waiting for the virus to end before I feel better.
That's such an important point, isn't it? You could imagine that there'd be a lot of people thinking to themselves, well, once everything goes back to normal, then I'll be happier. Then I can get back into my routine and then I'll find my peace of mind again, as if, you know, we need a particular outcome. We need something to change in our circumstances for us to feel okay on the inside. And isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to even consider that that's not true, that we might be able to experience peace of mind right now, right in the midst of all of the topsy-turviness that you just mentioned? Because there is a lot going on and a lot of people's lives are seemingly chaotic or seem more challenging. Their place of work and their home and their kids' playroom, and it's all one space now. People are trying to work out, what am I doing? And then, of course, we've also got the more serious side of this, of there are people getting sick and people are losing loved ones. You know, there is a lot going on. It would seem perfectly reasonable to think that that would have something to do with why a person might be feeling stressed or anxious. Mm-hmm. But I hear what you're saying, that we want to see something about our own psychological life and our own well-being, and whether that really is at the mercy of even the most extreme circumstances, hence the title, COVID-19 can't make us anxious. I do get that for some people that might seem like a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah, you know, when I think about, I have friends who have lost their jobs because their jobs required them to interact with people. And, you know, when people can't interact, then they don't have a job. So you could think that, well, that's a pretty extreme circumstance when, you know, I had a job last week and now through no fault of my own, I don't have a job and I still have bills to pay and I still have to buy groceries. And I always kind of go back to a self-preservation piece in this as well, to say, look, if getting all worried about the fact that you don't have a job or being stressed out about it, if that was somehow helpful, then that's what we would be encouraging people to do. Yep, get yourself all jacked up, you know, make yourself sick with worry about what's going to happen because you don't have a paycheck coming in anymore. But we know that that's not true, that getting myself all jacked up about it and doing a lot of worrying isn't going to be helpful. It's not going to help me to get a new job. But more importantly, all of that mental noise in the system is going to keep me from having insights and realizations about what I could do about my circumstance, about what could be an alternative for me. I happen to know a lot of people who have horses, and there are very expensive ways to maintain a horse, and there are cheaper alternatives. And I think that when people start to settle, those alternatives come to mind, and people start realizing, well, I could do this, that would be a different thing, and that could save me money, or I could do that, or I could postpone that. But getting yourself sick with worry isn't going to help you to come up with any kind of helpful solutions.
Yeah, I mean, I can absolutely relate to that. So maybe it would be helpful if we talked a little bit about how this works then, because I could imagine someone listening to this and thinking, well, if I could just stop myself worrying, I can't help that I'm worrying. I've got things to worry about. So I'd love to be able to speak to that so that people listening who feel like they're in that kind of position, we could maybe help them to see something about what's going on in their own experience right now that might bring them a little bit more peace, that might reconnect them to their well-being, be able to think more clearly and be resourceful at a time when actually we need to be resourceful. We need to be thinking clearly. We need to be able to help ourselves first and then help others too. Probably a good example for me, you know, you talked earlier about punching the wall, and my example that's very alive for me right now is worrying about my mum and my stepdad during this time, because they're older, you know, they're quite a bit older, they're in the higher risk group. And I've noticed in the last week or so that I can start to get into a lot of thinking about them. And it's not even about how they're doing right now, because actually right now they're doing pretty well. I mean, I'm doing their shopping for them. I deliver it to the door. They get out and have a bit of a walk and they get fresh air. What I notice that I do is I start projecting all these possibilities, all these possible scenarios about the future with them and what might happen and if this or if that. And I notice that I then start to feel quite anxious or stressy, and I forget that that's got anything to do with my thinking. It really looks like if not for this virus, there wouldn't be an issue because I wouldn't be thinking about this. But there are lots of times, you know, when I could be worrying about them and I'm not. So I see that there's something I'm not seeing in those moments. So if we take a look at that scenario, there's me and I'm thinking about my mum and my stepdad, and my thinking is going into all of these possible futures, and they're not pretty. It's not like I'm painting really happy, you know, scenarios. I mean, that would be just as delusional, but it would be kind of a more positive delusion. This is a more negative delusion of, you know, they could get sick and this might happen and that might happen. And I notice that then that plays out in how I am with them, because they'll say that they're going for a walk and I'll say, don't go near anyone. I mean, it's not quite that bad, but it's in my head. My head's going, tell them not to go near anyone. And then I try and settle it down so as not to scare them. So I'm like, well, you won't go near anyone, will you? And I've probably said it like 16 times that week. So I noticed that's an area of my life where my own thinking is really not very visible to me. But now as I sit here reflecting on this with you, reflecting on where do feelings of anxiety and stress come from, I can see, oh, my anxious or stressy or fearful thinking is not coming from COVID-19. It's not coming from anything outside of my mind. What happens is I start to think about my family in a particular way, and it starts to kick up a lot of emotion, a lot of feeling inside of me, and that kicks off responses in my system. And that's what I'm experiencing. I'm experiencing this inner world of thought and feeling, and it really looks like it's coming from something other than that. It really looks like it's got something to do with what might happen to my mom, or what might happen because of this virus. So that's my version, if you like. And we've all got our own examples, right? You know, for some people, it'll be worrying about their kids. For other people, it might be some anxiety about their job or about their financial security, right? We're all going to have what we would call our own good reasons for feeling anxious. So my good reason when I don't realize what's going on for me is my mum gets sick. If she goes out and somebody, you know, touches her who's got the virus, and then what will happen if they've got no beds in the hospital, and then what if she's left in a hall? And before I know it, I've created this whole story and she's lying in a hospital.
And you can play that scenario out with anything, and it could change from day to day, right? So one day you could be worried about your older parents, and then the next day you could wake up and for some reason start worrying about your job and, you know, what's going to happen to your company. And then the next day you could wake up and start worrying about, you know, financial insecurity and what's going to happen, you know, because you're not getting a paycheck. I certainly know that there are people who take it even broader and start worrying about, you know, all of humanity and all of mankind. You can paint any worrisome scenario that your imagination can dream up. And the more vivid you make it in your mind, the more intense your feelings are, and the more you convince yourself that it is this horrible circumstance and not my thought in the moment that is so real and powerful that it creates a full-blown horror movie, if that's what we're painting today.
It might be really useful to think about possible scenarios. So I don't want to say we shouldn't be thinking about things that may or may not happen, because sometimes we need to plan ahead. Sometimes we need to think of certain scenarios and be a little prepared, you know, just like our respective governments are trying to be prepared for a whole host of unknowns, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to do scenario planning to a degree, but I see that there's a real difference between catastrophic worrying, being in that kind of thinking, and in your mind, that seems like your scenario planning. You know, I've used this distinction before many times with clients, which is the difference between planning and worrying. What my tendency when I'm thinking about my mom isn't, it's not planning. There's a difference between, oh, I need to check what food she needs so I can make sure I go shopping for her as well as myself this week, versus, oh my God, what if when she goes out, someone touches her hand and then they've got the virus? That doesn't come under the category. That's not the bucket of planning. That's just catastrophizing. That's worrying. And that has no value, no benefit to anyone. And I suppose even just to take it a bit further, even if something did happen, that still wouldn't have the power to make me feel any particular way, because that feeling is still going to be coming via thought in each moment. So there's something about the power of seeing the kind of the true constant, the one thing that is always true, regardless of what's going on around us, you know, regardless of how extreme the circumstance might be. And these are quite extreme circumstances for a lot of people. We'll have never lived our lives like this, where everything's shut except food shops. And, you know, it's certainly not business as usual. But even in this extreme circumstance, thought still creates feeling moment to moment. We're still experiencing life from the inside out. And if we can see it in these moments, in these more extreme circumstances, then we can see it anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah. I think it's important, sometimes I forget at least, to emphasize that it's not about the content of my thinking. So it's not about what I'm thinking about. It's realizing that whatever I'm thinking, that's where my feeling is coming from. So for example, I have certainly had moments of pure bliss in these past few weeks where I felt content and settled and present and well rested. I bet there's a lot of people who are a little more well rested than they're used to being. Well, that was coming from my thinking as well. And so it's not about somehow controlling the content of your thinking and controlling your feeling and where you're going. It's just realizing that the only way it works is from the inside out, that we think and create perceptions and our reality, and that's what we feel and experience, that there's only that way for it to work. It doesn't work any other way.
So I heard you say before that people might be feeling more well rested, and that may well be true. And then you said, and that's coming from your thinking too. And I could imagine that someone might be listening to this and they might say, well, no, I mean, I'm getting more sleep, so of course I'm feeling more rested. What's that got to do with my thinking? Could you just speak to that point?
Sure. What I meant by that was that I think that it's kind of a forced settling, at least for me, that's how I see it, is that there's a moment when you realize that there are a lot of things that are no longer under your control, and you can get jacked up about them. Or you can realize that, well, this is all I've got right now, this moment, and this moment, and this moment. This is what I have right now in the present. And I think that some people have had this as an opportunity where they get incredibly settled, their mind settled, and they feel a feeling of contentment. So it's not necessarily because people are getting more rest, because again, I bet there are some people who have a lot of free time and aren't getting much rest at all.
Exactly. So we can put it down to having more time, but we all know that we could have lots of time and then use that time up in ways that's really not productive, like overthinking and doing things that aren't necessarily good for us. And for me, what's really important about this time that we're in now is it's such a great example. Look around you. There are some people who are getting more anxious, you know, who are feeling quite stressed out and feeling like there's a lot of uncertainty, and that has the power to make them feel scared or anxious. And then there'll be other people who are in very similar circumstances. You know, maybe they're not working or they're working from home. They've got a busy family, on paper, very similar circumstances, and yet they're having a very different experience to that other person. You know, they are enjoying quality time with their kids that maybe they haven't had for a long time. And yeah, it's a bit noisy, but actually it's just really nice to be around my family. And that also is an experience that is shifting and changing for each person too, that one day they feel content and happy that they're spending more time with their kids, and the next day they're feeling irritated and stressed out. What accounts for that change in reality for somebody? If we can see that even in the most extreme circumstances, even when there's a health pandemic and it's creating a real shift and change in people's personal lives and how they're living right now, and some of that is perceived as being great and some of that is perceived as being horrible, even with all of that going on, our internal experience, the way that we're experiencing consciousness moving through us, the way that we experience thought, creating, feeling in the moment, that's what creates feelings of stress or feelings of anxiety or feelings of bliss and feelings of contentment. All of it's coming from within. All of it's coming from inside. And the more that we can see that for ourselves, the more that we really can connect with the truth of that and notice that that's where our feelings are coming from in the moment, then the more equipped we are to move through this, the more equipped we are to ride this wave well, like you said earlier, to have great ideas, to be resourceful about how we might save money, about new business ideas, about ways to be with people. Look at all the creativity at the moment, people having virtual parties. And I saw a lovely example today of a woman who normally does children's parties. And the woman still hosted the party, but she did it via Zoom. She did it on video. And so you could see all the kids and their little screens looking in and enjoying it. And it's obviously not the same, but still they got to enjoy and be together. And so people's creativity is really coming to the fore right now. You can see the power of thought in the moment, and the mind creates all these wonderful solutions. Again, the power of thought and consciousness in action.
The incredible power that is also part of the system to have new ideas, to have new thoughts, the innate resilience that we have to see a situation differently and have a different experience. And I think that when we get trapped into believing that our feelings are coming from our circumstances and that there's nothing we can do about our circumstances, then we're stuck in a loop of anxiety, and there's no room for that beautiful power of creativity and resourcefulness to come through. Everybody's experienced that in their lives where they were really up against it and they thought there was nothing that they could do. And then for some unknown reason, they got a new thought. They had an idea that helped them in the moment that they couldn't have planned for. Having that faith in the capability of the system is also something that we can rely on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's a really nice place to stop for now. And we can pick this up again and start to explore how do we help others around us who might be struggling. So that will be where we'll go next. So we'll look forward to sharing with you again in our next podcast.
So here's a quick summary of what we've shared in this podcast. In essence, we're inviting you to consider that what we believe is causing us to feel a particular way, in this case, anxiety or overwhelm during this pandemic, isn't coming from COVID-19 or from any other circumstances, even though it can really look and feel as if it is. We're inviting you to consider that all feelings, all emotions, all states of mind are a direct and instant reflection of thought in the moment, of how the power of thought is taking form in our minds and bodies from moment to moment. When we get a felt sense of the truth of this for ourselves, it takes a lot of unnecessary and unhelpful thought off our minds, and this leaves us in a clearer, quieter, or more settled mental state. When it seems like our peace of mind or our mental well-being is at the mercy of past, current, or future circumstances, the world is always going to seem a far scarier place because we feel out of control in some way. So if you take just one thing from this conversation, we hope it's this, that your well-being and your peace of mind can never be taken from you because it's always there at the very core of who you are.